I just had a flash of inspiration about what we should name and theme the game. You're building a school of fish.
I don't want to say go on, but go on.
No, that's all. That's but like it. you like color code it with like shapes of fish. So like each color gets a fish representation. And then you're trying to build a little school and you call it Fish in the Sea.
Oh, I don't hate it. Not as much as like shish kebab or hors d'oeuvres. Yeah.
But like they would be moving around. I think I'm onto something here.
We're going to have to talk about this. Yeah. Fish instead of tile pieces, right? Little fish.
Oh.
Colored fish. You don't have to do squares.
That's true.
Fish in the Sea.
Add that to your list.
Definitely going on the list. I do really like that, by the way.
I think it fits very well thematically.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we play games without really thinking about strategy. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
Is this like when I'm falling asleep playing Eternal and wake up to a defeat screen?
No, this is more like I've been playing a lot of Star Realms on the phone, on the app. And I know that there's strategy to this game. There's websites dedicated to it. There's blogs, there's articles, there's all kinds of things you can read about strategy for Star Realms. Have I read any of that? No, of course not. And I also know that there's synergy between colors and Star Realms, whether you're playing like yellow and blue or red and green. And so many of my games, I'm just like, let's take whatever. I'm not really thinking about it. I'm just like, I buy whatever I can buy, and then I go to my next round, and you know, whatever comes up, I'm not thinking about it. How am I going to win this game every time I make a purchase from the market? And I lose a lot of games.
Do you play PvP online?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's cool for the other people.
Your ELO is low on Star Realms?
It is. Yeah.
What do you think your ELO in the Misplay internal testing of Abstract is?
Oh, well, I'm 0 and whatever to you. I'm so bad I feel 50-50. So I'm in the middle somewhere. I'm probably not going to be playing at Worlds this year.
If there's ever Worlds for Fish in the Sea.
Fish in the Sea, yes.
Boy, that would be a day.
I do have a game for you today, though. Like last week, we played Am I a Game? This game is called Higher or Lower. And I created this game to fit into what we're talking about today. Today, we're going to be talking about business. We're going to be talking about marketing. You were going to say systems, weren't you?
He keeps cutting me off at the pass for all of our good bits.
Business.
Systems.
And I know this is a little step away from talking about where we're at with abstract games, especially with Gen Con on the horizon, but I also think it's important. We've been talking about the reason we're creating this podcast to go along with this game is to tell the story. Part of the story is how we're trying to create the Misplay as a company, as a brand, and to get noticed. To get our podcast noticed, to get our website noticed, to get our newsletter, and so on. And I think it's important we stop for an episode and we talk about where we're at, because it's been a long time since we've really sat down and talked business.
I need to swap out my water for coffee. It'll make me feel much more businessly.
So as a lead into this episode, I have a game for you called Higher or Lower. I'm going to give you a number, and you're going to tell me whether or not you think it's high or you think it's low. And it's all connected to a brand's social media. So first one, Stonemaier Games, you know them, Wingspan, higher or lower? They have 5,000 followers on Blue Sky. Higher or lower? For reference, we have 60.
I'll go with lower because it's a new platform.
Ah, I'm really mad. I had this whole thing set up to talk to you about. You're correct. It is lower. It's a little over 2,000. But what if I told you they have 25,000 followers on X?
That tracks.
Right. And I'm just highlighting that because there's a big difference between the amount of people on Blue Sky and the amount of people on X, which we are no longer. We are not on X. Part of what we're going to talk about later is why we chose to do that, and you know whether or not that hurts us. But wow, yeah, I thought for sure I was gonna trick you on the first one. Well played.
Don't worry, I won't get another one right.
Shut Up and Sit Down. They are one of the biggest podcasts in the board gaming space, higher or lower than 3,000 Patreon members. For reference, we have 15. And I should say that a member doesn't necessarily mean that they are paying to support. You can be a free member on Patreon as well and just get updates.
Go higher.
Okay, got you on that one. It is lower, but barely. I picked this number because it was so close to it. They have something like 2,930 people following them on Patreon. It's a few more than us.
A few orders of magnitude more than us.
The Dice Tower, higher or lower than 300,000 subscriptions on YouTube. Reference, we have 8.
Lower.
It's higher.
Dang.
They have almost 350,000 subs on YouTube. Little different than where we're at. And this is giving like really good context for who we are as the Misplay.
Small.
The Dice Tower, very big. The Board Game Wire. This one I had to stretch a little bit because I wasn't that familiar with a lot of the board game newsletters out there, but this was the largest one that I could find. Higher or lower, 350,000 people have signed up for their newsletter. Reference? We have 21.
Lower. No one likes receiving emails.
You're partially true. Nobody does like reading emails, but the answer is higher.
Dang, lots of people like receiving emails.
The estimate is 375,000 people are subscribed to their newsletter. That's a lot. Here's the last one. Board Game Barrage is another popular board gaming podcast. Higher or lower, 20,000 weekly listeners. For reference, we have 70, for sure.
Higher.
It's lower. That's a high number. It's lower. It's somewhere in the thousands, but it's not that high. There's not millions of people listening to board game podcasts every week. Like there might be for...
Don't say someone I hate.
I know. That's why I almost did. For something like How I Built This with Guy Raz, there's probably like millions of people who listen to that. But we're still pretty far off on where we could be, what the ceiling is. Thanks for playing Higher or Lower. We're going to talk a little bit about our socials in just a few minutes. But before we do, today's episode is sponsored by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. Talk about growing an audience, Mark. It was just a year ago that Board Game Casual was celebrating their 1,000th subscriber. They're now creeping up on 3,000 subscribers. How'd they do it? Advertising here, of course, to begin with. Being smart with your advertising money. This $1 spot, so worth it. But also, they have really great content, so there's that too. Give Board Game Casual a view at Board Game Casual on YouTube, at Board Game Casual channel.
Where are we?
You got it. You got it. You got it in first this week. That is a question that we're going to try to answer for the rest of this episode. Where are we? When we're thinking about where the Misplay is as a company, as a brand. I know it's hard for you to see any of those things, right?
Small.
Yeah, yeah.
They're small.
But do you see us as a real entity? Do you see us as a company? Like,
I think of us as a podcast, which comes with the brand, which comes with the story that we are telling, which includes the design and development of this board game. I see us as more disparate pieces. We haven't filed for our LLC yet. We've kind of set aside the partnership agreement. We're really focused on the story we're telling. We are content creators.
Yes.
Are we a media company?
We're not a media company. But in order to tell our story, we have to have an audience. And there have to be people that are willing to listen to our story and to find what we're sharing compelling. Again, we're not telling people how to build a board game. We're telling people how we're building our board game. And I gave you some of the numbers earlier, our follower count on Blue Sky or the number of people who listen to our podcast. it's hard to, I don't want to just say it's a problem that there's only 70 people who are listening and downloading our podcast on a weekly basis for sure. But because we didn't have these clearly defined goals, and it's hard to say that we don't have as many listeners as we want. If we don't know how many we want, you want a million, Mark? You want 500? How many people would you like listening to this podcast? I've already predicted what your answer is going to be in the show doc, but answer that question. How many people do you want to listen to us? How many people are you hoping this goes out to?
I don't have a specific number in mind, but I do wish we were growing and reaching more people, especially as we find our feet as, less so as podcasters, because I feel comfortable on the mic, but as we find our feet in the board gaming community, as we find our feet as being comfortable with calling ourselves board game designers, I would like to reach more people because I do think we're reasonably good at the podcast. We are not reasonably good at marketing the podcast, but I think what we put out is worth listening to if we can find a way to get people to buy into the narrative and the story that we're trying to tell. So more than a specific number is, I would like to see us growing the audience.
I didn't predict that. That's a really good answer. And I agree with you. One of our stated goals has been taking the game that we create to crowdfunding. And we want that crowdfunding campaign to be successful. In order to do that, though, we're going to need more than 70 listeners. We're going to need more than 15 people following us on Patreon or 60 people following us on Blue Sky. So I care a lot about it, but it's hard to be, I'm not upset at myself because we haven't been putting in the work to grow. We've barely had time to do the recording and the show prep and the game creation. Like, finding time for all of those things, that eats all of our free time.
The whole hour that we have set aside a week.
That's something to take into consideration, is that this is not a full-time thing for either one of us. This is part-time hobby. We called it a passion project in the beginning, but we do have to find, I think, more time if we're going to be successful. And I think it's pretty clear that, I think this is something math is going to support. The more listeners who are listening to our podcast, that's going to equal more people who support or buy the game when we go to crowdfunding. If there was one listener, that's not many people who've bought into the story. If we had 1,000, then there's more. I'm not saying all 1,000 of those are gonna buy and support the game, but there's a lot more than I think one. Neither one of us are doing this for the fame, the fortune, the glory.
I want to be famous.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You know, I thought you were going to say earlier, I just wanted to hang out with a friend.
I mean, that's true, but in wanting the project to be successful, I recognize that there are metrics that you have to meet in order for the fun hanging out to convert to the stated objective of what we want for the game and the show and the company. I'm a company man now.
he's putting on a hat. He's putting on a little top hat. You can't see that on the podcast. I want to give, first, before I go into any of this, just kind of a visual to what we're currently doing for our own marketing as the Misplay. So some of the things that we have done, initially when we launched the podcast, we took out a big ad on the Board Game Design Lab. We had somebody come to us recently in Discord and say, oh, I heard about you guys through the Board Game Design Lab. That was a year after we had done the ad. So they were going back and listening to episodes and heard it, and that brought them here. We created coasters that we gave to a local game store. Actually, I gave some to Victory Point Cafe as well as the game parlor. So little Misplay coasters that they could use when they serve drinks, and on the back, there's a QR code to us. I've created some stickers that we're going to hand out at any of the in-person things that we go to. The technical things were all created by, a lot of it was created by Scott, who created our website, who created our newsletter that we're sending out and buttoned down. I post primarily now on Blue Sky. We did start putting some articles up on the website. The Patreon, we really haven't touched in a while. We'll talk about that more. And then the other piece is, we're sending our podcast now to YouTube. Again, this was something Scott had set up. An audio version of our podcast just goes straight to YouTube when we upload it. We don't have to do any work. It's pretty automatic. no video, but it's just, it's there to start. I think it helps expand your footprint online. When you type in the misplay on YouTube, we're the first result. So I think one of the things that I've been trying to say is that it's hard for us to say we're not on target when we really haven't set targets. Why don't we have 100 followers on Blue Sky? Well, we really haven't been trying to get 100 followers on Blue Sky. That hasn't been something we have declared we want to do and then started doing the things you need to do to make that happen. We talked about this briefly when we chatted with City Square Studios back on episode 4 of season 2. We talked about the number of followers we each had on Blue Sky. They had 65, we had 30 when we recorded that episode. They have 500 now. We have 60. They've grown 1,500% more than us in the same amount of time. There's not a mystery why. I'm just using that as an example. They have actively been trying to grow and doing the things that you're supposed to do. And we've just been using it occasionally, not in a strategic way.
Sure.
And so I think that's something that we need to start thinking about when we're thinking about all of our metrics. I broke it down to just a few because I don't think you can, especially in our shoes, have a Facebook, have an Instagram, have a Threads, have a Blue Sky, have a YouTube, have a podcast, have a Discord. Like, I just don't think you can have all of the things that exist. And you got to kind of pick a couple of lanes to focus on. And so for us, that is Blue Sky, that is Discord, our newsletter, Patreon. I put YouTube on there, but it's not really a focus, but it's just one of the metrics that we can track. And then the last one is the number of listeners that we have. And I kind of put an asterisk by listeners because it's notoriously difficult to know. Most podcast hosting companies use some sort of formula to approximate how many people are listening or how many people have downloaded. It's not like YouTube where you just know exactly how many people have viewed. We use RSS.com, and I can say our older episodes have about 170 downloads, and our newer episodes have about 70. More people have listened to our older shows than our newer shows. I would think to some degree, if you're growing, it's going the other way. You know, people aren't always going back to the first episode, but they're listening to whatever's recent because they like your show. And so your number should be going up as you progress. I will tell you that's how our old show was. We were growing the correct direction. We've slumped a little bit with our listener count. And part of that is figuring out why and things that we can do to connect with the audience. They're listening and they're going, oh, this isn't exactly what I wanted to hear. Or, oh, this episode title was a little misleading, I guess. That wasn't, you know. So, and we're not trying to solve for that today. That's not our goal. We are just talking about what we can track, and we'll set some goals at the end of this episode.
I'm with you.
Okay. I'm going to go back up the list kind of in reverse order here. So again, it was Blue Sky, Discord, newsletter, Patreon, YouTube, listeners. Talked about listeners there for a second. We've talked about Blue Sky already. YouTube isn't something that we're focused on right now. Our episodes are going there automatically, and it's a good starting point should we decide we're going to go to video next season, which is something we've talked about. I think going to video would be a really great way to grow the show. There's a lot more that has to change to do that. Where we record, when we record, the process of how we record, taking pauses or something. When you're doing a live show, you're not able to do. So it changes how we have conversations, I think.
Sure.
The Patreon sub number is probably a good predictor of somebody who is likely to back our crowdfunding campaign. They're already supporting us. We're just talking heads, right?
Just disembodied voices right
voices,
now.
Voices, right? So like Blue Sky, like listeners, like Discord, growth on Patreon has been really slow for us. You've been reading the same names for a while. Now, same is better than less. It's something my marketing professor used to tell me. Same is better than less. But we've been bad at Patreon. I think that's just the best way to say it. And I know you and I have talked before about, you know, potentially moving platforms and trying something like Substack to grow, because there's a different audience over there. There's a cost benefit assessment, business, something systems, where we could look at the pros and cons. It's a little simpler, I think. We don't really make use of the Patreon tiers. That's not something we've ever focused on, saying that, you know, somebody gives us $1 gets to do this. Somebody who gives us $5, well, they get extra access, and somebody who gives us $10 can have dinner at our house. Like, we don't use the tiers. We've never done that, even with our old show. So there's some things we're kind of leaving on the table, whereas other podcasts, they sell people into, oh, I want to donate at this level because then I'll get this bonus. And that's cool. I want that. And I will tell you, I've done it before. I've subscribed to a lot of different podcasts on Patreon for the different level of perks. I got my name set on a show. Like, that was important to me, so I did that. But as the Misplay, we really haven't used that. So maybe Substack is a simpler solution for us. I don't know.
Well, the flip side of that coin would be is, what if we adopted and worked to build a tier system in Patreon? There's like a labor theory where, or like an idea in labor where, if you don't ascribe an appropriate value to your product, why would anybody else?
Yeah.
And so if you're like, well, we just are so great, we are incredibly grateful to our patrons. But if your general attitude is, any patron is like, we just love all of our patrons and we'll give them everything, there's no incentive to grow or...
Yeah, and it could be just that our thinking is wrong. And we would have to put in the time to decide what we can reasonably offer as perks and then make sure we're doing that. And we have not found that time. We've never sat down, you and I, and just talked about what can we do to grow on Patreon.
Well, I think that's the real question. I think more than the like financial access piece, because we're not here to make like get rich. We're not here trying to pay our bills. I mean, maybe we're trying to pay off the recording equipment.
Some of the early lawyer money.
But I would venture a guess that the hesitation to really see what we could do with Patreon has been more a product of time as the limiting resource rather than some obstinate ethical objection to using Patreon tiers.
Okay. Yeah. I'm liking what you're throwing down.
I told you I brought my business hat.
Stop wearing it. Take it off.
He doesn't like business, Mark.
The other metric is the newsletter. And I think that just goes without saying, but we're going to say it. We just have to find more ways to add value there for people that sign up. We haven't had a new person sign up in a long time. The 21 people we have were the 21 people I think we've always had. And we can also say that to some of our credit, we're not pushing people, right? We're not every episode saying, sign up for our newsletter. Every once in a while, we mention it. It's important. But we've never, and you know, I think about that when I think about reviews on Apple. If you listen to other podcasts, they talk all the time about how leaving a review is an important way for them to grow. So if you're listening and you enjoy the podcast, please give us a review on Apple. They're important. Do you know how many we have, even going back to our old show?
5.
0. There isn't a single review. Now, we do have 5. We do have like 30 5-star reviews. It's all 5-star reviews. I'm fine with that. But we've never asked people to do that. We've never, not in person. I've never even gone to my family or friends and said, hey, leave a review for me. Now, part of that is, oh, look at me. I'm so great. I've never done that. Look how awesome I am. But then there's the, well, if you really want to grow your podcast, Jason, you should start doing some of those things. Those are the things that people say help grow your podcast. So it's like, I've almost drawn this line in the sand and I'm just not going to cross it now because I haven't yet. But it would be helpful if more people signed up for our newsletter. It would be helpful if people left Apple reviews. It would be helpful if they were positive. I can't force anybody to do anything. So it's doing some of these little things that, again, they require time though. They require time we write our newsletter every month, you and I. Sometimes we get it out right when we want at the beginning of the month.
June is due.
Other times we get May out in June. The next metric for us is Discord. And we've had a couple of people, maybe two a month, kind of trickle in. But most of our 200 plus Discord members are legacy from the old community and the old Eternal podcast. Discord is, again, a place that I think we have to say, what can we do to create value for the audience? What can we be posting? What can we be sharing? What can we be talking about? What is available to people? I think one of those is we've been playtesting Mike C's game, and Mike has been using our Discord to schedule playtests. He has now opened Brickley Games Discord, so he's now got that going in his Discord as well. But I'm open to people coming in and saying, hey, I have this game. I'm looking for playtesters. Is anybody available? I'm happy to jump in games if I'm available or if they're scheduled ahead of time. I'd be happy to do that for listeners. I think that's one way that Discord can be valuable to people who are listening.
The Discords I enjoy jumping into the most are Discords where there are more ways to engage. We hyper-focus on the show. You're like, we got to be all killer, no filler. It's really interesting to be in other Discords and to see the variety of topics that they bring to their community, even if it's not hyper-fixated on the content that they're trying to sell. Discord is a community hub. I think the value of Discord is in coming to be with people that you like talking to and having this shared forum digital space where you can be around this community that you get along with, enjoy engaging with and talking to. And I don't think it needs to hyperfixate on a lot of our channels. You've been very, very minimalistic in the channels that are available. And I wonder if there were more, I know we have the Dreamatorium for kind of your a catch-all for anything, but I wonder, like, what if there were a wider variety of things to talk about in Discord? What if there were, you know, in Dreamatorium, historically, there's been a lot of talk about like books, movies, other games. You put it as whatever your heart desires.
Well, I should highlight it's a reference to the show Community, Troy and Aubin. But yeah, that's what the Dreamatorium is. It's whatever you want it to be.
But I wonder what would happen if you had a subsection for, we have a bunch of people who like reading. What books are you reading? What are you talking about in your books? What if you had the subcategory for movies? I don't know that I want a subcategory for movies for myself because I'm not a movie person. But what if there were more of a sense of community gathering as opposed to here's where we talk about the game?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. You say it like me, though. I haven't.
We,
thank you.
I don't have any mod privileges for making channels in the Discord right
now. That's possible. Heavily guarded. So Discord just being another avenue, another metric that we can track for growth. If I had to rank these in order of importance and say, what is most important for us to grow? This is the order that I was thinking about. One is listeners, but listeners grow through everything else. But I just think that's the overall, that's the most important number. And then I would think about it, if we're going to be successful for crowdfunding in the future, then we want to grow Patreon, we want to grow Discord, newsletter, Blue Sky, and then YouTube is at the bottom. That's kind of the order I put them in, with Patreon and Discord being the two highest. Make sense?
Yes.
And I want to take a moment to say that there's a reason we haven't talked about Instagram or X or TikTok or Facebook. We use Instagram early on, and I even talked about it on some of the early shows. Follow us on Instagram. I would post pictures or I would post video. And I was really excited when we hit 100 Instagram followers, and we did that very organically. But I think, at least for me, I won't speak for everybody, we reached the point where I really disagreed with the policies of its parent company, Meta. And it's the primary reason that I sought Blue Sky out. The Misplay left X the day Elon Musk took over. So in some cases, we know we're hurting our exposure a little bit, but that's just the strategy choice we've made because that's what we feel is best for us. And that does prevent some growth. I'm willing to live with that. I'm, of course, dreading the moment, Mark, where buying ads to support the crowdfunding campaign, because the number one place to do that is Facebook. I don't wanna. You know, there's part of me that is I'd rather just sell 10 games and not advertise there than sell 1,000 games and advertise there. A million? I don't know. Eventually I'd break, right? And just sell out eventually.
Good double use of sell out.
Yeah, we would sell out. I don't know. So it's not something that I want to go deep on in the podcast, but it's just something that I want to throw out there because I'm giving the total picture of our story.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
So if you're still listening, which I know it's not a million of you. So I thought the thing to do to kind of close out the episode here is to set some goals for us for the end of the year, which is looking ahead quite a bit, but thinking about where we want to be when the year ends. Our goal is we're moving into season 3. Season 3 is going to be our crowdfunding campaign. So that's roughly what our like timeline is. And I want to set some goals for our marketing and for our brand and for our company as we move towards that. So if we think about something like Blue Sky, currently we have 60 followers. End of the year, if we put in the time, and we want to put in the time, we're going to try to put in the time to grow on Blue Sky. 500? Is that a target we can hit? That's a target that City Square hit kind of in the same amount of time. We know Stonemaier only has just over 2,000, so we're not going to say 5,000 as our goal. Should we say 250?
I think you aim for 200. Because I think while we are going to put a more concerted effort into growing the following, I think the variety of content that we will be able to put out, I think 200 is still a more realistic goal than 500.
Goal number one. Goal number two, Patreon.
How many do we have now? 15?
15 members. That's, you know, there's some people who are free members as well.
Plus five.
Plus five?
20% growth.
I know, but I could just log into my mom's computer and have her like just follow for free. Hey, there's one.
Speaking of our 5-star review strategy.
I think increasing 5 paid is the good target.
Sure.
Oh, that was an easy sell.
Sold.
Easy sell.
Sign me up.
Next is our newsletter. Now, we've had discussions internally about like whether it's important or, you know, I've always, it's very traditional thought that having a group of people that you can email and go, hey, our crowdfunding campaign's about to launch. We really need you. This is the day it's going to launch. We hope you're able to support. And like being able to send that out right when the campaign is going and have, you know, those 21 people go, yes, I'll click that, is important. I think it's really important still. And we want to grow that. By the end of the year, I don't want to say 21. I want to say, and I think going to Gen Con is like a really good opportunity. We've never gone to an in-person event where you could put out a piece of paper and say, hey, sign up for our newsletter and have people do that. I think that's reasonable when we're playtesting or if we're just hosting an event in the, you know, the hotel lobby. Plus, we want 50?
I think you could get 50 at Gen Con and then maybe another 25 by the end of the year. Give us a stretch goal.
Stretch goal. Well, your stretch goal would be 100. I think that would be the stretch goal.
Let's go.
Mark, I like that attitude. Let's go. Like, subscribe, dude. Then I don't think I have like a true number for Discord. I think Discord, we shouldn't think about it in terms of a number. We should just be thinking about doing, you know, maybe some of the things you talked about where, you know, we're just reframing, restructuring a little bit to create spaces for people to have conversations, but also us posting more frequently. I would say on average in the public section of our Discord, I'm probably posting 1 to 2 times a week. You are probably a little bit less, right?
Probably.
I think making sure that we're there more frequently, we're in a private Discord all the time, but in the public facing space, sharing. And I think one of the things is thinking about, well, how much of this private conversation can actually just be moved over here so people have access and visibility to it? Because again, selling the story.
Open the floodgates, man.
So Blue Sky to 200, newsletter to 100, Patreon plus 5.
Paid.
And Discord becoming
Get in there, folks.
Being more active. us being more active.
Us getting in there.
I think all of these things lead to more listeners. So we'll bring you back to the where we're at with the game on the next episode. Sorry for derailing you for a week, just talking about our failing social media attempts. But again, I think everything is part of the story and it's important. We appreciate you.
Listeners, patrons, Blue Sky followers, Discord members, YouTube viewers, newsletter subscribers.
Nice, you captured them all. Good summary.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Ajos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our form at themisplay.com/sponsors.
Currently, we have 600 followers. By Mark looked up. Mark looked up. He's like, what?
Someone was lying at the beginning of the show. Our social media strategy is strong.